Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive, and it is a hump day as we get you ready for Shedeur Sanders' first NFL start. That open, courtesy of Mac Robinson on the board. Yes. Who today is dressed like the lead singer of a Christian rock band circa 2003. Jars of Clay, indeed. That's a different band. Maybe Lifehouse. Oh, Lifehouse. Big Lifehouse guy, Mac Robinson. We got Jake Murren doing the I almost said 2020s. We got Jake Murren on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. Don't be afraid to hit the like button there. Also doing the producing. Matt Corelli giving us the 2020s as well. Hi, JP.
Hello. How are you today?
I am very, very blissfully sitting at the epicenter of the sports civil war caused because Shedeur Sanders has a social media presence. I'm just enjoying it. Aren't we all enjoying it? Aren't we all bathed in crap right now?
Yeah, it really felt like Baskin and Phelps were enjoying it today.
I mean, see, that's, guys, you know, the you know what has hit the fan when Jeff and Andy just go 12 rounds with each other on anything that isn't lunch from yours truly.
There was like 75 lines that made me crack up in there. We just disagree on our thought process, as Jeff Phelps seemed about as angry as I've ever seen him look. Oh, you can see him. He is boiling in the video. It's great.
You know what was great about that is I didn't think when Dan Menigan and him were arguing about J.J. Bladé potentially being a Cleveland Guardian.
That's a bad argument, by the way.
I thought that was as mad as you could get Jeff Phelps. And then I saw an hour later and I was like, wow. We've got two topics in the same day that has Jeff Phelps ready to fight. I'm here for it.
And that's really, it's a good measuring stick for where we're at right now. When the two of them are going after it in ways that we just don't see them go after it, we know that we've done something here.
I just will say, I do feel like I'm taking crazy pills some days. Just,
is that right?
Just observing the general conversation about Shedeur Sanders.
Welcome to my world. This has been 9 months of this for me. It's for 9 months I've woke up feeling like I'm taking crazy pills around the topic.
So what's crazy is I'm Switzerland. Like, you have some level of bias on it, which is fine, by the way, because you've been a Shedeur supporter from day one.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to the Morning Boys today, and I listened to Jeff and Andy, and I've listened to everybody talk about it. I listened to Mary Kay on the Brown and Orange podcast, and it was like, we're really just arguing at air. We're not really even arguing with each other anymore.
Well, we're trying to have, the problem in the discussion right now is too many people are trying to have arguments that aren't in good faith. Like, there's no argument you can make that a half of a game of football proved or disproved anything that you believed prior. And so, like, that's the part where I feel like it's tough. Like, in today's day and age, they want you to have takes, they want you to have opinions, they want you to have these big declarative statements right away, and it just doesn't work that way for someone that had made their NFL debut in that type of situation, in that context.
I think that's, like, it's so funny. Like, I don't think there's a lot of sides to the Shedeur expectation, right? Because there is the Shahive that says he's going to wake the world up on Sunday. Other than that, I think a fair amount of people are like, well, he's a fifth round pick and he played poorly on Sunday, so it's probably not going to look great. Like, I didn't even argue whether I thought it was going to be good or bad, because I think it's immaterial. I think the thing I'm hoping for is that it's interesting, that it's exciting, because that's the one thing it hasn't been. I haven't gotten, listen,
and it was for the second half of that game.
Yes, it was absolutely interesting. There were points where it was very bad interesting, and points it was pretty interesting otherwise. But, like, if this is what the conversation is on a Wednesday, God help us, whatever happens on Monday, or whatever happens on Sunday. Because Monday, I remember.
Oh no, but it's proven. It's proven. There's no rational conversation to be had next to any of it. And on top of it, it feels like everyone's already made up their mind anyway. So even if Shador looks good, what's the conversation then? Well, he didn't look good in that half of football. So we're doing the preseason football games all over again. Looked good in the Carolina game, but what happened in that Rams game? And then it becomes a story of what? Inconsistency around Shador? Is that going to be the story on Monday for these people?
I just think what kills me about it is we're just not there. Like, I the idea that no matter what happens on Sunday, it's why I teased you about you kind of jokingly say, I'm back on the eye test game, because it's like, that is how everyone's going to handle Sunday.
Well, that was a joke in and of itself.
No, it was. But no, like, it was. But what
kind of alarmed me that I didn't think you got that right away.
I think the reason is that I'm looking at this game on Sunday and thinking,
I have my scouting hat, guys, on. It says scout right on it.
It does. I mean, the hat doesn't lie.
The hat would never lie.
They don't sell the hat that says scout to just any non-scout. All right? We don't live in a country where lying is possible.
You can't just get those things.
No, you can't have them made.
So I put that on. When I want to scout, I put my scouting hat on and we get after it.
Yeah, Judah Friedlander, who's a comedian, who his whole gimmick is he has hats with different sayings on it or different expressions that he makes. They have to be true.
He didn't just find a lids one day.
Nope.
You earn those hats.
Nope, absolutely.
And also then you earn what your gut tells you to.
That's true.
That's a part of this, what your gut tells you.
What I think is evident, and we're not even, I mean, we're officially now halfway through the week, but we're just getting into this show, is that Shador haters will make the best out of what Shador does on Sunday. Will make the worst out of it. The Shahive will make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be like three people, but potentially I'm one of them in the middle, being like, this is what happened. And then everyone's going to yell at me. And that, which I don't care about because I just don't listen to it. But like,
No, that part of it doesn't really matter either, because it doesn't matter what side you're on. You get told what side you're on anyway.
Oh, that's true. But the amount of
people that in the previous 24 hours have online told me that I think something that I don't is astounding to me. And so it's like, we don't even have a chance in this. I've given up on that. People are just going to think whatever they want to think. They're not even taking any of it in.
All right. So what you're saying actually is very freeing, because I just don't care. I just don't. I cannot care about the hoopla around Shador, because I really only care about the football. As of right now, he's the starting quarterback, in the same way that when Dylan took over, a guy that I had no belief in. I might have 10% belief in Shador, as opposed to what you'd have in like the first pick in the draft. I might have 10% belief in Shador.
Mm-hmm.
I got no belief in Dylan. Still wanted him to succeed that first game. Still gave him his flowers he was slightly better than Joe Flacco.
He's still the Browns quarterback. Like, there's a part of that you should still always root for.
But it doesn't feel like that's going to be possible for 80% of the people having conversations about Shador. I think you will, and I think I will.
Yeah.
Because I think we both were guys who've been conflated with being Shador honks.
And by the way, the entire stretch of this, Nick, what have I always told people? I just need to see more games. Like, we hadn't been able to change my mind because we hadn't seen any games. Once we start seeing games, and once this thing starts going, then we have more evidence to go off of. Who knows where this thing ends up going? If it looks anything like the first half last week, it's not going to be a pretty Monday for myself coming in here, but that's the reality of it.
Now, I will say the NFL industrial complex, the NFL media machine, after listening to Albert speak yesterday and take a victory lap on a half of football, I don't know what this kid did. I don't know who he slept with.
I don't know
whose dad he kicked the cane out from under and he fell tumbling into the streets of Indianapolis.
How many media meetings did he not attend?
And by the way, Albert is hearing, everything Albert's hearing is what people
think.
How
many people's grandpa put a bounty on Shador's dad? I don't know. Like, I don't know these answers. It seems like a lot, though, apparently.
But we can probably get at least one of those answers at 520 when
seems
Ross
like
Tucker
a lot
joins
of people
us.
People have done that, apparently.
But it was just like this idea of there's so many people waiting to tell you, I told you so for Shador. And it's like, I honestly, to rebut what Albert said, where Albert was like, to me, it's like Tebow mania. I honestly have never seen the NFL as a whole root against a kid in the way that they're rooting against Shador.
Yeah.
It is the damnedest thing. And I, like, honestly, from that side of things, the Shahive is right. There are so many well-connected people that have just gotten together and think that this kid is like hiding the cure for cancer and he's just refusing to give it out. That's the way they talk about
There's just a lot that feels so unnecessary around the discourse. And that's the other part of this, is that I feel like people like Albert are tired of the conversations and they're tired of just even talking about Shador, yet they're the ones that are consistently bringing up it as well. And so, yeah, like, you are just as guilty, the people in the anti-Shador camp, for keep bringing it up, than the people that are in the Shador camp.
I might have to be making, at some point today, I might decide to switch from Switzerland to one side or the other. I think it's getting really tough to be Switzerland in a world where it doesn't matter what you believe. People are just going to have screaming arguments about it anyways. I mean, honestly,
okay, I'm curious to find out what you do.
Even with love, like Ken yesterday, I don't know where Ken got any of the tweets that he sent to us about videos we had out there.
I don't know either.
I didn't hear it this morning, so I didn't hear like an extension of that. So the stuff that he said this morning didn't seem to be related to that. But like in the moment, I'm like, what are we seeing here? Because I remember what I said in that segment. I don't remember what you said in that segment. But again, like, that's not a criticism of Ken.
But that's the
conversation.
But it is, in a way, because it's like the idea that if Ken can't even get the conversation right, how do I expect, you know, other people to get the conversation right? And Ken's been doing this for a long time. He knows how to listen to what exactly we're saying, what we're not saying. If he's getting the message blurred into what is actually being put out there, then how am I supposed to expect anybody to have the message received correctly?
So, Shador officially named the starter for the Raiders game, and you have a win-win. Is that what I'm understanding?
I think it is a win-win in many ways, and I think parts of the fan base will walk away with a win on Sunday. I'm not saying it's going to just have everybody, this is awesome, this is great, but there's going to be certain pockets of the fan base that is going to feel like it's a win no matter what happens. If they lose the game, the win is attached to the idea that you got better draft positioning. So there will be a whole segment of Browns Twitter, social media, all that stuff that is like, well, at least they did the job. Shador didn't look good, but they got the job done. You're one step closer to a number one pick and a quarterback. The other side of this is if Shador looks good. And then, obviously, you've got a quarterback that looks good in the midst of having one of the worst offensive lines in the sport, wide receivers that don't really know what they're doing, and him looking awesome. So you might have something there. It is a win-win vantage point.
I almost feel like I want everyone in the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat looking at all you guys there. The usual suspects, Bonjour Bob, we got Frank, we got Coinlitos. What'd you say?
TB12 still hanging around there?
TB12 forever. I like Raul Havana.
I like that guy. He really goes for it, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. I'm forgetting the name because it's not right in front of me. The point is.
Jim.
Them too.
Yeah.
And everybody who's going to be tweeting at us during the show, at Nick Wilson says, and at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
You got really quiet for your Twitter handle.
I almost think everybody just has to go on the record and say, my name is blank and I am a Shahater, or I am a supporter. I'm a member of the Shahive. I almost need that.
I know, but it does feel like if you're going to, and like, I don't know what you're going to do. You haven't told me if you're going to become part of the Hive or become a hater. I'm not sure. But becoming a member of the Hive now, I think that's a bold play. I like it. I'll appreciate it. I like that you're going down this road, if this is the road that you go down. But it does kind of feel like the lowest amount of time to buy into it. And so it's like, I think it'd be appreciated by the Hive. Mm. I think you'll earn almost like 3x points of being trying to indoctrinate into this if you actually choose coming into the Hive.
All I'm going to say is, I think everybody should just be out on the record. We should have tweets about There should be a paper trail. There should be a list.
Yeah. I thought we were at max capacity is what I'm trying to say here. I thought the Hive was at max capacity. There weren't many people really knocking down the door to be like, after that game, I want to come in now. I want to find my way into the Hive. But kind of like playing in Squid Games, the one game where you got to close door with enough people in there.
With squids?
No. That's people. It's a real thing.
Oh, okay.
How you have not paid attention to that in any sort of way is amazing to me.
But when do the squids come in?
They don't come in. It's people.
Okay, but they're games for squids.
Yeah, it's not a great name.
Okay.
I need to work on the naming of this.
Okay.
People games, I heard, didn't have the same ring to it.
They just sit around, like, eat calamari? Is that what it is?
No, I'd play that game. That's just me on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But, like, that game will open the door for you. We'll kick the door open. We'll let you in.
216-474-0092. Weeks ago, we gave everyone a chance. If you're a Gabriel Gobbler, say it out loud and say it proud. Today, I ask, if you're going to call in the show, if you're going to tweet at the show, the first thing I need to know is, are you a Shador hater or are you a Shador supporter? 216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com at 3:20, as she joins us every single Wednesday at 3:20. John Fanta, little surprise here, John, Cleveland's own NBC Sports at 4 o'clock today. Ross Tucker. Many have accused him of being a Shahater. Well, he joins us at 5:20. He's going to be on the Browns-Raiders call this Sunday. It's a 4 o'clock game because we sure needed another one of those. We'll get to Ross at 5:20, but 216-474-0092. JP says this is a win-win for Browns fans. Does this game feel like a win-win for Cleveland Browns fans? And further proof that the Shador discourse is tearing apart this city. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I just want to know, for the record, are you a Shador hater or are you a Shador apologist? Because we have further proof that the Shador discourse is tearing apart this city. Cleveland sports dads, the Midday Boys. We used to call them Cleveland Talking Heads. I don't know when we stopped that or why we stopped that.
We wait any longer, they're going to be Cleveland sports granddads.
That was Jonathan Peterlin that said that, Andy.
What? And they'd be so blessed. Their kids are getting older. It's a great. I think you wait all life to become a grandpa. Do you not?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You keep selling. I don't know they're buying, but you keep selling.
Yeah, it happens.
These things. Occupational hazard.
It comes with the territory.
Now, Cleveland sports grandpas were fighting today over Shador Sanders and whether or not he gave them a chance to win this last Sunday.
He gave you the opportunity to go, oh my God, he's got a chance. That's all I'm asking for.
He was 2 of 7 on the final drive.
I don't care. What I care about
is... I know. I think you're misguided on this.
I think you're wrong.
So
okay.
There you go.
Okay, well then we're
not,
even on
not
that.
Not much more we can say
Look,
about
do
that
Do I
one.
Think he's a great quarterback? I don't know. He's only played two quarters.
I just think your thought process is completely off on this.
I think you're totally wrong when a guy has a chance to put the ball in the end zone and they have a chance to score. Really matter
you're
what
patting
happened.
Him on the back like he accomplished Look,
should
something.
What are you talking about?
He accomplished one of the most historically bad debuts in NFL history.
Did the Browns have a chance to win? That's all I'm asking.
No.
Did they? You're wrong!
They didn't make a big play.
If you guys haven't seen the full videos, there are multiple ones up there on 92.3 The Fans.
Phelps is red as a tomato can.
He was. He really was.
Genuinely mad. We've known Phelps for so long, and you can tell, you know when he's mad. He was genuinely mad.
It's funny because, and these are the best fights that you have on radio because there's a kernel of truth in what both guys are saying. And I can see if you agree with either side. I actually happen to agree with both. Like, I think Shador was really bad on Sunday. I don't think any of us I have not heard one person actually say, I played great, right? I haven't heard one person say.
How could you?
Yes, but.
You can't.
I also think, like, the fan in play alone gave you a chance to get back into that game. That's a huge throw.
That last drive was competitive in many ways, as it was. The moment that you make that throw to Larvinan in the corner, that solidifies the idea that, yes, I agree with Baskin on that. You had a chance to score. In that moment, you had a chance to score.
Well, and I think both things being true does matter.
You hate saying it, but it's
well,
okay.
Well, just because we all say it so much and, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like we don't say it as much. Now, since you made that declarative statement on it, I feel like we haven't been saying it.
But I do, like...
But both can be true.
I think at the heart of their conversation is the point that I've tried to make where it's like, guys, I think this game, unless he throws for 300 yards and four touchdowns and they win by two tutties, or he throws for 100 yards, gets sacked seven times, three, four, five turnovers, unless he goes full Peterman or...
Nathan Peterman.
I'm not making an old Peterlin joke. Or full Pat Mahomes. I think we're just going to be having the same fights on Monday.
Yeah, probably, but at least we'll have more to go off of. Like, I feel better about it once we take on a bad Raiders team. And listen, the end result might just end up being you have a really bad offensive line. And I went back and I watched our buddy Chase Daniel. I don't know.
Our VP of
programming? No, Chase Daniels. Chase Daniels.
Oh, Diana.
Diana.
Diana. Diana, what are we doing?
First off, I think I might like Chase Daniels.
Jonathan, what are we doing?
Not since Missouri have I liked Chase Daniels, okay? And I was even like, ah, might be a good guest for this week. Everyone's hot on Chase Daniels right now. Might be a good idea.
What do you like about him, Jonathan?
His breakdown. Did you watch his breakdown at all? He had like a 20-minute breakdown of every throw that Shador made, and he went into great detail on it. And yes, did it make someone like myself feel better about the situation? Yes, it did. But he pointed out all the different ways that our wide receivers let Shador down, all the different ways. Jerome Ford, even in just picking up basically just anybody that was coming anywhere close to Shador, it felt like every other play, Jerome Ford, who's supposed to be good at protection, was just diving out of the way to not block that player. And like, there were so many ways that this can get cleaned up, but maybe, just maybe, with the wide receivers that Chase kept pointing out running the wrong routes, and how at times you'd have bunches, you'd have three different wide receivers all in the same area doing absolutely nothing to help out Shador. Maybe, just maybe, nobody could have overcome this. And maybe that's the conclusion we have to get to when this is all said and done.
How does that but make you
not,
feel better?
It's not how this works. Well, it's just not how this works. And so, like, there's, like, the context that will always be missed in the Shador discussion, when it's not me and you have 5 days a week to figure it out, is going to be the idea that you have one of the worst offensive lines, you got wide receivers that aren't helping out anything, and even in that game, had a million different points that we can reference to where they did not help him out at all. You have penalties that erased the one first down completely in that first drive, and it just feels like... It feels like that's not good enough for people because people don't want the context attached to it, but I think the context is going to be important in the big picture.
Well, but I do think even there, like I continue to hear this conversation about, well, how much does 1 week of practice make? And it's like, well, if you're setting the kid up to look like a completely different quarterback, that's not fair, right? Like, again, when Dylan came in, we set our expectations low. Be better than Joe Flacco. Be functional.
Yeah.
And for that Minnesota game, they were functional. Quinshon Judkins had a good game. They did some good stuff, even though Dylan didn't pass the ball down the field. It's really been since the Pittsburgh game on that it's just been, I don't know what anyone sees in this kid, right?
Sure, yeah, sure. But
as soon as the NFL gets tape on him, all of a sudden it looks different.
So it's funny.
Like, I don't expect Shador to look night and day different. I expect him to look tangibly better, like, or marginally better.
Well, but that's funny how that's like part of the test for people, where it's like, just don't run backwards, essentially, and then people will be pleased. It's interesting how that works. Like, I brought up Justin Herbert a lot this week, but I think it's bare repeating. Slater and Alt are out, and then he throws for 80 yards, and everyone's like, well, it's not his fault. He doesn't have an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But did he look like he had a clue? And throughout his entire time when he's lacked an offensive line, it's like, did he look like he had a clue? 80-yard game, pretty bad game, all things considered, by Justin Herbert. But he looks the part, and I feel like for a lot of people, that's where maybe Sunday left him a little less than satisfied with Shador, is that he had too many of those mistakes, where even with a bad offensive line, he didn't necessarily look the part. And so how much of Sunday is the production versus him just looking like he belongs, looking like an NFL quarterback should? I think that part is really interesting as well.
I think for people who have already decided this kid is hype, or this kid is this, that, the other, or who are still displeased that he didn't kowtow to every team in the NFL in his pre-draft process, whatever it is that they're against, it's not enough to have a good stat line. It really isn't. I think he's going to have to, like, if that kid even has one back to the defense kind of moment, they're going to point to that.
I know, which is amazing, because Caleb Williams spent his whole first season doing that, and nobody brings it up. It's one of those things where this is his story. Part of his story, Nick, is the idea he doesn't get the same passes as everybody else. He doesn't get treated the same way as everybody else. And so Shador knows that, and I think he understands that. And going into this week, I think he's got – here's where we always talked about how he wouldn't have pressure – because his whole life has been pressure. How you don't have a mountain of pressure on yourself, understanding that this game right here, this Raiders game, might be your only legitimate chance to show people what you can do. And if you fall short of that, I mean, it might take you years to recover from that, whereas other people, it wouldn't be the end-all be-all.
Well, those other people are also first-round picks. That is the what I think is a fair rebuttal to the idea.
For sure, there's more invested on these other teams. I understand that. I get that. But it still is into the discussion that Shador, because of the fifth round, because of everything attached to the fifth round, and then obviously the other circumstances, he doesn't have the same luxuries as other people. He doesn't have the same luxury as other quarterbacks. And that's, again, this is all, I'm not saying this is even something that that necessarily is a big problem within himself or anything like that. He didn't cause a lot of this. But the reality is, and his reality is that he doesn't have a long runway like some other players do. And it will take years to rewrite this if Sunday goes bad.
216-474-0092. Does Shador get credit for putting the Browns in a position to win or tie the game on Sunday? Or does what matter more, the stat line and how bad, quote unquote, it looked? I do love our midday show getting in on this. Ben in Garfield Heights, real quick. I need you to acknowledge, are you a Sha-hater or are you a Sha-supporter?
I'm a Sha-hater. I'm sorry, guys. He looked like he was playing backyard football out there. And if you looked at his eyes, that kid looked scared. I felt bad for him. It's clear he has no clue what is going on, but I do have a solution.
Okay. All those flavors, and you choose salty.
I'm sorry, guys, but I really think this kid needs to go to a team that's got a really good quarterback situation, such as Kansas City or Baltimore, learn there for a couple of years, get comfortable in offense. As of right now, with the way he looked, not only Sunday, but in the preseason against the Rams, he has no clue what's going on out there. That was nothing but playground football.
Did you like the week before in the preseason, that game?
I acknowledge he played pretty well there, but I think, like you guys have said, defensive coordinators picked up on what he was doing and his tendencies, and he just has looked like just deer in the headlights the last two times we've seen him. This is not the right team for him. He may turn out to be great, but they cannot bring him back because this is not going to get any better while he's here. He needs to learn under a bona fide quarterback for a couple of years. There's no doubt in my mind that on Sunday, this kid's going to be running for his life.
Ben, we appreciate your honesty. We appreciate
all right, thank
the
you,
call.
Ben. Thank you, Ben.
It was one half of football.
That's all.
And with no once. Again, I'm not expecting him to look like Warren Moon circa 1987 on Sunday, but I'm also like, should you expect him to look at least a modicum better than what
he's
he
got,
looked like?
Well, he's got to. He's going to look better than you would imagine. If he doesn't, then
there's your answer.
There's your answer. But the point is that Shador himself talked about it, and Shador himself today said how he felt basically, I'm paraphrasing, but the game was really fast in the very, very beginning, and then he watched, and he felt as comfortable as he's ever felt in the latter parts, in the late part of the game, in the part of the game where, by the way, we all collectively thought that he looked a lot better and got more comfortable. I think there's a lot of the NFL that you can't prepare yourself for, and yeah, did it take him a quarter and a half to go ahead and maybe get used to how fast it was and how much faster it is than, let's say, the scout team? Yeah, it did. And then he told you. He looked his best. He thought he felt his best. And the confidence that he exuded afterwards tells me it's not going to be a problem.
All right, I'm making the list. I'm checking it twice. Haters, Ben in Garfield. Not number one hater, literally.
Well, he's the number one hater.
But he's the first person to say it on record. He is a Sha-hater. Your supporters, again, you've got multiple ways of getting to us. Let us know. And Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat. So when we talk on Monday, I want to have a definitive list here of people who have shown their allegiances so we can keep this straight. If he plays poorly or if he plays well, 216-474-0092. Does Shador get credit for putting the Browns in a position to win this last Sunday? And Shador has a message for Browns fans. You're going to want to hear that in about 5 minutes to start on Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan. Let's go. Dylan in Cleveland, which side are you on and why? Your 15 seconds start now.
Sha-hater, he's done nothing in college. I wish him the best. I hope he does well, but he's shown no sign of it. It doesn't matter what quarterback you put there, Dylan, Joe, Shador, they're going to suck. There's no weapons. There's no O-line.
All right, there's our 15 seconds.
Okay.
He's an OG Sha-hater, right? He did nothing
in
college.
But that was at least a nice spin on it, though, in the idea that it's like nobody could have had success here.
Let's go with Brandy. Which side are you on? Your 15 seconds begins now.
Brandy.
Hi, I am a supporter. and why.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I? Yes, I am a supporter because Shadur has had a hard time since the draft, and I just don't like it. I don't appreciate it, and so that makes me support him even more. So the crazier that the Cleveland fans get about Shadur is the crazier I'm going to get about Shadur.
Tell we like that. We really like Brandy. That. All right, your 15 seconds are up there. Les, am in Cleveland, are you a Sha-hater or are you a Sha-supporter?
I am a lover.
Well, congrats to you, sir.
Yes, you are. Are you still talking football?
All right. Listen.
By the way, they all decided it was Shaporter.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think the people spoke. None of them said Shaporter. They all said Shaporter.
Yeah. All right. Ryan in Akron, real quick, buddy. Here's your 15 seconds. Are you a Shaporter or Sha-hater?
Shaporter, but can we call it Shasiah because he's going to be the Browns' Messiah?
Now we're talking.
And one thing, I want to give you a difference maker guarantee. Win Sunday, baby.
All right. We love our guarantees. You flew very close to the sun there.
Yeah, you did.
But we do love that. Let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
I can't get over Les saying he's a lover. I don't think he was talking about Shador Sanders.
He just wanted to tell us he's having a good time in life. That's all.
I think just in his golden years, he is getting down to clown, and you know what? I'm not here to hate it. Shador Sanders, first press conference starting for the Browns was today, and he had a message for Browns fans.
I know our fans have a lot of expectations and hope. I would be doing a disservice to myself and disservice to the organization if I didn't feel like I am the guy. I did everything I need to. I'm doing everything I need to prepare to be the best version of myself as possible. With the circumstances, everything got to be sped up, and that's great. You know, I like pressure in life. I'm just excited for everything. So, you know, I feel like I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy, but, you know, you just have to be able to see. The game got to speak.
All right, so with that, I'm asking the number one supporter in Cleveland sports talk history.
Sure.
How quickly would Browns fans unite around Shador if he plays reasonably well in a Browns win on Sunday?
I mean, we got more supporters than deniers right now, according to the list, at least, you're making on the side,
that
right?
That is true. We've got three. It's 3-5.
The nice thing, at least what I've seen in the past couple days, is that even if you don't believe in Shador's talents or whatever, you want this for Shador, and you want this for the Browns. And so there is something nice. There's a rootability across all sides here that even if you're a Sha-hater, I think you just want him to do well even.
Yeah, we love Baker Mayfield when he was playing well. Then we got annoyed with him when he wasn't playing well. So the reality is all of the chinois, as it were, will go the way of the dodo if he just plays reasonably well. And I if you play poorly but you win, I don't think it's gonna unite people. But if he plays reasonably well and they win, yeah, I think people are gonna fall in line real quick. And all of a sudden, several of these Sha-haters will suddenly sneak across the aisle there.
All right, we have from The Athletic, we have the new MLB media rights deals.
Been waiting on this one.
Yeah, well, ESPN has finalized the acquisition of MLB.TV. There's some things attached to that, obviously. But the important part for Guardians fans is that ESPN is going to have the in-market rights to the Guardians, the Padres, the Twins, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Mariners, but most importantly, the Guardians. So I don't know yet exactly what this means, but if you can infer anything from this, that means ESPN will have the rights to the local broadcast.
That's good. I was worried about ESPN. You know, I always worry. You know, do they have enough money? Are they going to have to cut everybody's jobs again? I really worry about ESPN.
So the good thing about this is that at least you know it's going to be a product that is not lackluster in production or lackluster in value or anything like that. Like ESPN, as faulty as they are in many things, they do put on live sports at a really high rate. And so we know this is not going to be a double-A broadcast.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is...
It might be annoying, though, if you don't like ESPN's graphics and stuff like that, though.
I think, to me, it's like, okay, are we bringing the team back? I think not only are the original trio, Rick, Matt, and Andre, like, great at what they do...
I'm assuming they are, but I don't know that.
Our guy, Chris Jimenez, I mean, yeah. they've really done a good job. The Guardians have of bringing additional analysts into it where you really are getting robust coverage here. As long as that... I mean, as long as they're not breaking that up and I don't have to... It's some... ESPN, you know, some bland ESPN guy randomly broadcasting games.
So the other side of this, I mean, because obviously they're not going to air all of these six teams on like another additional ESPN, the 12 or something. It'll probably be like part of the ESPN Plus package, I would imagine. And if it's not, maybe it's an offshoot of that.
So one of the things that I saw, and I think it was speculation, is that you still will get it for the same price point you did last year.
That just comes with the, so that, but that's separate from, again, the MLB.TV part of this is separate as well. I don't know. I paid through cable last year. How does this affect me? Is basically what I want to know.
I don't think it will.
And I don't think it will at all. I think because I have access to all the ESPN stuff, we should just be in the clear.
I believe you're correct.
And that's good.
Omaha! Sicko Ryan Day continues as he made a point of saying what he studies in his press conferences this week.
I think eyes lead to the soul, man. You look at someone's eyes, you know exactly what's going on. That mindset starts with how you look. Someone told me that, and I agree with it. So you can tell exactly, you know, what you're dealing with when you look somebody in the eye. You know, I watch a sideline, I watch the TV copies, I watch everything just to see what the look in everybody's eye is. And I think when you look at our guys, there's a certain business about them, and that's the way we're going to play the game.
I'll ask you again. Are you all in on Sicko Ryan Day?
Well, now he just tells by the eye. I go by the gut. I go by my eye test as well.
Oh, you linking
up? I put my scouting hat on that says scout on it. I think me and Ryan Day, both known football guys, eye test passes here.
Eye
test passes.
I think you're going to see. Listen, a lot of people came around after the national championship with Ryan Day. Fair enough. If they just go and they play Michigan this year in 2 weeks, if they beat them by like 21, we're talking like the Urban Meyer crap kickings that we got, Jim Tressel at the end, where they were just hammering Michigan,
yeah.
And Michigan looked like they had no hope in some of those games. If you get one of those, man, the Ryan Day, especially if they win another title, oh, the Ryan Day legacy train will be, well, not just left the station, will be flying down the tracks at a bazillion miles an hour.
I'm now at the spot where I feel like the expectation is a blowout. And I don't like that. I like Albert's thing. Well, I hate it because last year I was so dead wrong as 21-point favorites, and Ryan Day made us all look like idiots, but made me look like a big-time idiot, and so I hated that. But yeah, now Albert got me pumped up. Now I'm ready to see him win by 50.
I am, but my point is just win, right? I think the first time that he wins against Michigan in a long time, we should just be happy that he wins no matter how it happens.
Let's run up that score, Ryan Day.
Let's ride.
Giants rookie Abdul Carter denies reports that he slept through a walkthrough prior to being benched for the start of the Packers game. Mike Kafka ended up benching him, something that apparently had been going on for a while. He denies this, by the way. He says he was getting recovery. Other people have leaked out and said, no, it's been happening for a while. Brian Daboll was the one that didn't really punish him. I don't bring this up to bring up other picks necessarily around number two overall, but if we're going down that exercise, Abdul Carter has half of a sack and a single tackle for loss in 11 games. The early returns on Abdul Carter, not great. Early returns with Travis Hunter. Obviously, he's injured, out for the rest of the season. Not necessarily the greatest either. Do you want to throw Ashton Jeanty in the mix? We can do that as well if you want to.
Throw Cam Ward, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cam Ward was, you know, he went number one overall. But like the point is that I guess we'll just lump this into the big parts of the draft. The top of that draft is turning out to be really not great across the board.
You can make the case that either Will Campbell... No, it's between Will Campbell or Mason Graham in the top six that are the best. Tet McMillan takes it if you go to the top eight. But what's interesting is, even Will Campbell, I saw him against Myles Garrett, and he looked like a lost damn soul trying to defend Myles Garrett.
And a lot of people do, and that's going to happen to him. But I find it interesting as more and more people are like, you wanted Shador at number two overall. All right, those people also wanted either one combination of either Shador, Travis Hunter, or Abdul Carter. Seems like we all got that one wrong, did we not?
I mean, I feel like now you're trying to do the revisionist history thing.
Seems like we all kind of got that one wrong,
did we not? I guess I'm not too crazy for wanting Shedeur, too, because look at these other slubs over here.
I just feel like everyone that had a say on number two overall got it wrong.
Except for, who did Nick Wilson want if they traded down?
You wanted Abdul Carter, and then you wanted Travis Hunter. Not in a trade-down scenario is different, but at number two overall.
You can tell me. I don't remember saying I really wanted Travis Hunter that much. I remember fighting the perception that he's a unicorn.
We both fought the perception, but there was a little stretch where I thought you hopped on. You were very in Abdul Carter's camp, though.
Oh, no, I was.
That's not even, yeah. I mean, we're not going to even attempt to rewrite that.
But going back to last Michigan-Ohio State game, I was very much a Mason Graham guy.
But the amount of people that were like, Abdul Carter, at no, just turn in the card and make it when that's all you need, and he has been an absolute bust in New York to this point. Maybe it changes.
But other than that, been a great rookie season, and everybody should feel very excited about that. Jerry Jeudy seems to be over it. I just don't know what it is. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.